you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's there.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 19th, 2020, on this Testimony Tuesday. Marianne, thank you for joining me.
Yes, thank you.
And our special guest that couldn't make it because of radiation treatments and scheduling issues, but we are going to have Pastor Miles Clark and his friend and our friend, Dan Huffine. They live in Danville. Dan's the one that's been having treatment, and I can't remember, Marianne, when we had him on, or maybe I had him in.
Yeah.
It was some time ago, I think last year. He had talked about that his days were numbered.
Huh.
And so recently, Russ Brown, who has sung with the Singing Men of GNN, and he's working at a radio station in Danville, he every once in a while says, hey, this guy would be a good testimony. And he's the one that recommended that Charles and Destiny Magumba.
Oh, yeah.
And he's given me other suggestions on people to maybe include. And he said, you know, Dan's been diagnosed with this, I think, stage 4 cancer or something, and says he only has maybe 3 or 4 months to live.
Oh, my.
He might be a good one to have on. And so we couldn't pull it off today, and so we're going to schedule them in September. And then Michael Edwards Nichols, the author of Short Life, I was hoping maybe he could fill in because I want to have chapter 10 read.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have you fill in on behalf of Mike Nichols. He's the professor at Lincoln Christian University, and so appreciate his testimony and story. We had him on a couple weeks back on Monday and Tuesday. And I even talked about having him come in maybe a week's worth or a few days where he can read excerpts or stories, chapters from his book, Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth. And at the time when I had him on a few weeks ago, Marianne, I had just gotten his book, so I only had about an hour's worth of being able to just glance at it. Well, now the last, I guess, 2 or so weeks, I've been reading 2 or 3 pages every night. Just loving this book called Short Life. And in fact, last week I read chapter 10, and I read it out loud to Holly at night, and we talked about it, and she was really blessed. And then the other night I read another chapter to her. And so I was just thinking I was going to try to get him to be on the phone lines today. And with Lincoln Christian University starting up next week and all the schedules and the pressures, he's like working night and day to get everything together. So we're going to have you fill in for him.
We're just having kind of a domino effect of fill-ins here, but
we'll work
backwards and get Mike and Dan and everybody on.
Now, is your life getting easier? If you were tuned in yesterday, you heard my song by, I think it's the Stairlifts. They're a family from the 70s.
Things are going to get easier.
Yeah, things are going to get easier and brighter.
I like that song.
So that was kind of a fun little song to share with everyone. But I love closing out with Press On by Selah.
Yeah, it's a great group.
Talked about that verse about persevering out of James 1:5. So today we're going to look at The Courageous Life. Life is Too Short to Live in Fear. It's chapter 10 of this book from Michael Edwards Nichols, Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth. As I mentioned, Marianne, I just love this and so many of the chapters. I read it out loud to my wife, and it really stirred in me some good, healthy convictions, some insights. His premise of this book, and I'll have him on to say more in the future days, and it is archived when I interviewed him a few weeks ago at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. But life is short, and if we learn to live with that mindset that we don't know how many more days we have, let's maximize or let's optimize or let's realize that if our time is short, let's make it matter. So let's start prioritizing things that we do or the time we spend with family or friends or what do we want to be investing our time in immediately. So he really helps us think through how to prioritize what we're doing, what we're thinking about, what we're investing our time in. And so each chapter is only about 4 or 5 pages and always has a great scripture or two to begin with and then has application points to end out the chapter. So this was one that struck me, and I said, Marianne, do you mind if you can fill in for
No, I don't mind.
Pastor, doctor, professor, teacher, counselor, Mike Nichols, and you said sure. So
all right.
Read away.
Do you want to read the scriptures and I'll read the text?
Oh, sure. Joshua 1:9 begins this chapter called The Courageous Life. Life is too short to live in fear. And then Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's Joshua 1:9. And I'm a good navigator, you see. Scripture verse, reference, verse, then scripture verse, reference.
Okay.
That's how navigators do
it. For some of us, anyone who doesn't know, why are you a good navigator? Well, what's a navigator besides a ship captain or something?
Oh, well, the navigators, that's the ministry, and they're known for memorizing scripture.
Right, right, right. Is that InterVarsity or is that somebody?
No, that's the navigator. So they're like InterVarsity Christian Fellowship,
okay,
the navigators, Campus Crusade, which is now like called Crew, so that's a ministry.
Were you
on
a navigator?
Well, I was a navigator in the sense that I got my little scripture memory verse packet. I went to a navigator weekend one time, and so navigators are just known. That ministry is known for scripture memory and always citing the reference, doing the scripture, citing the reference.
That's
so
pretty cool.
That's what I
did. I got some gold stars when I was little in yeah. Sunday school, but I undoubtedly have lost them.
And then 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. 1 John 4:18.
Okay, and here's the words of Mike Nichols. I have spent much of my 60 years living in fear. Hmm. From an early age, I was afraid of my dad. Oh, that's sad, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Fearful that he would hit or spank me. I was afraid of girls from grade school all the way through college.
Yep, that's how probably most of the men, yeah, we can identify.
Well, I reckon.
Yeah.
Had a right to. I have always been self-conscious, afraid of what people thought about me. I decided to become a Christian out of fear.
Hmm.
When I was 9 years old, I had nightmares about dying and going to hell. I knew I was a sinner. I had no difficulty believing that I deserved to be condemned to hell and that I needed God to save me. Even after giving my life to God and following Him, I often feared that God was waiting to punish me. Imagine how freeing it would have been for me to go through life unafraid. A visiting speaker from one of Lincoln Christian University's sister colleges, Mark Moore, once spoke to our student body about fear. He told students that the word fear showed up more than 500 times in the Bible, and then he explained that God clearly commanded us to fear only two things. He asked the students to name them. They got the first one quickly. We're commanded to fear God, but we're stuck on the second one. The second thing, Mark explained.
Okay. Now I'm just going to challenge everyone listening. What two things are talked about as far as in the Bible about fearing? And everyone would say, yes, fear God.
Uh-huh.
But think about it for a second or two before Marianne carries on. What's the other thing we're supposed to fear?
Moment of silence.
Okay. Go on.
All right. I'm going to read. They were stuck on the second one. The second thing, Mark explained, was nothing.
Yeah.
He pointed out the many times when the Bible says, fear not. Scripture clearly teaches us that we're to fear God and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Mark asked the students what they would be willing to do for God if He took their fears away. Mm. He then challenged the students to write heartfelt prayers concerning their fears. That night, the students used permanent markers to fill dozens of poster boards with honest, gut-wrenching prayers about all the things they feared. Students wrote prayers about many things, including fear of poverty, fear of leaving family, fear of living in a foreign country, fear of speaking in front of people, fear about finding a mate, fear of disappointing family, fear of rejection, mm-hmm. and fear of failure. Naming our fears is helpful. Only then can we begin to pray specifically about them. God usually does one of two things with our fears. He can take them completely away, and how awesome when He does. But He doesn't seem often to do that. Usually, God gives us courage to face our fears instead.
Yeah, read that again, because I think that's a word for all of us.
Usually God gives us courage to face our fears instead.
Mm-hmm.
Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather doing something even when we are afraid. If you were to ask a fireman whether he's afraid of entering a burning building or a soldier, whether he's afraid of going into battle, both would probably admit to their fear. But courage is what allows them to go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Life is too short to always be playing it safe. Most of life's significant events don't happen in the comfort zone. Our society has elevated safety, perhaps too much. Of course, there's a wisdom in basic safety. But if we make safety our highest priority, we run the risk of losing our courage to face our fears. In his book, Just Courage, Christian human rights activist Gary Haugen asks parents a penetrating question. Do you want your kids to be safe, or do you want them to be brave? Some parents have so overemphasized physical safety that they end up endangering their children spiritually.
Yeah, that was a real interesting one. I had to stop and read that a couple times.
Yeah.
Do you want your kids to be safe, or do you want them to be brave?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that paradox where if you shelter them from everything,
yeah,
you end
they're
up
scared to death of everything.
Yeah.
Gary Haugen, who sees many American Christians as being trapped in a world of suburban monotony and triviality, uses the metaphor of a cul-de-sac to illustrate how Americans endanger their kids spiritually by keeping them, quote, safe at home.
Yeah, now listen to this example. So everyone knows what a cul-de-sac is. That's, you know, the suburban area where you go down a street and then you have to turn around and come out. It's not like a thoroughway or
right,
a straight through. Well, everyone knows what a cul-de-sac is.
The literal meaning of cul-de-sac is dead-end street. It has been a regular feature of suburban housing developments for many years. Designed to alleviate homeowner anxieties about traffic dangers by eliminating high-speed traffic that would endanger children playing on sidewalks and streets. In the search for a pathway to safety, the cul-de-sac was created. But decades later, studies revealed that cul-de-sacs are actually more dangerous for children. Children are not injured by forward-moving traffic as often as they are by cars that are backing up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exactly what people do in cul-de-sacs. Now, many cities want to ban cul-de-sac developments because they increase risk to children.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I mean, the very thing that you thought was going to protect or
yep,
make safe for your children ends up being, like,
yeah,
worse than normal streets.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Parents who want their kids to be safe could actually endanger them when they try to remove all risk from their lives. Many, quote, spiritually at-risk youth in churches who are constantly exposed to materialism in places such as suburban malls could be challenged to face their fears by making a difference in an unsafe inner-city neighborhood or on the mission field in another country. Leaving your comfort zone and going to a different place that doesn't seem as safe does take courage. In fact, I covet your prayers. Because being an intercultural studies missions professor, a lot of parents don't like me.
Hmm.
The fact is, many of the world's neediest mission fields are the world's least safe places.
Mm-hmm.
One of our greatest fears is the fear of dying. I challenge my mission students to settle the death question. Am I ready and willing to die? Deep within their hearts before they ever set foot on the mission field.
Hmm.
Doing so will be one of the most freeing things they ever do, because settling the question means coming to a place in life where you're at peace with dying. It is not that you want to die, not that you're trying to die, but rather that you're okay if you die, ready whenever the Lord decides to take you home.
And that's Paul, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He got that right.
Over the last several years, I've returned to the Democratic Republic of Congo on several short-term ministry trips. Even though I lived in the Congo for a decade, going there still requires courage. Before I leave on each trip, I take a personal inventory, sharing my heart with the Lord and asking Him for the courage to face my fears, letting Him know that I've settled the death question. I'm ready. Every time I settle this question in my heart, I experience deep peace that allows me to go anywhere and do anything without fear. It's one thing to face our fears about what happens after death. It's another thing to fear the pain that may attend the process of dying.
Mm.
Dr. Wayne Shaw, Dean Emeritus of Lincoln Christian Seminary, wrote an email message to the faculty in December 2010 after discovering he had multiple myeloma, bone marrow cancer. And here's what Dr. Shaw said. None of us know what you or I will have to go through before seeing Jesus face to face, but we do know that he's with us and that we were raised with him in our baptism to begin our resurrected life here and now. Therefore, death is the least of the things that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that sentence. Yeah. Death is the least. We think it's the most. Right. It's the least. Similarly, Moshe Rosen, the founder of the organization Jews for Jesus, reflected on life and death after being diagnosed with prostate cancer that metastasized, went to his spine, and eventually took his life. A lot is standing on the way that I'll die. And what is standing is my willingness to endure whatever God has for me, which will be the capstone on a testimony of redemption. Nobody likes pain, but there's something with the pain that's bothersome, and that's uncertainty. Hmm. Will I be able to endure it? Will I behave with dignity? What I need is the assurance that the Lord will see me through, and that I can testify to his reality and to his presence as I make the big exit off life stage. That's from the Messianic Times, May, June, 2009. And this is Mike again. At certain times in my life, I've sincerely faced the question of my death. Once the question came during a moment of intense pain, lying on the concrete floor of the bathroom in our house in the Democratic Republic of Congo, thanks to some parasites that were doing major battle with my abdomen, I was in extreme pain and it wouldn't go away. With my face pressing against the cold concrete, I prayed a very honest prayer. God, I love my wife and kids, but I'm ready to go be with you if this pain won't go away. I'm ready to go. Take me now, Lord. Everyone is afraid of something. Sometimes our fears are rooted in the past, the present, or the future, or perhaps in all three. Yet many of our fears are irrational ones. I have a fear of horses, my wife of snakes, my daughter Sammy of spiders, and my daughter Sarah of bananas. Yeah. It's kind of a long story.
Yeah.
I bet it is. Perhaps you're afraid of heights, water, airplanes, confined spaces, open spaces, the dark, or speaking in public. You might fear abandonment, failure, meaninglessness, intimacy, change, decision-making, that's a big one for a lot of people, urban areas, or even success. If you can take the time to do a personal inventory, then you'll be ready to take the next step, casting your fears upon the Lord.
You know, I was thinking beforehand, I was telling you this when this chapter really was touching me or ministering to me or bringing what I would say is healthy conviction. I was just thinking, would people see me fearful during these times of COVID-19? Would they see me fearful and afraid or uncertain or not confident in my God who can do all things? Would they sense that I'm in turmoil or frustrated or angry and not at peace, that God is in control? Mm-hmm. And so it was just, it brought me to a greater recognition of how do I demonstrate Christ during these times when there is legitimate fear, and I don't want to minimize that there are times to be afraid, and God understands that, but is that the overarching impression that I'm leaving? Do they sense inner peace or a joy in the Lord? And I had to think, Lord, would somebody say, gosh, he's just like everyone else. He's in turmoil. He's all frustrated. He's he's so fearful of these times. And I thought to myself, Lord, I hope that's not how I'm projecting you to others.
Mm-hmm. Oh. No, that's good, Mark. Okay, that quote was from 1 Peter 5:7. My wife, Julie, told me how scared she was when, as a 20-year-old single girl, she felt called to go to the Democratic Republic of Congo. She was scared to death. After deciding to go, she almost backed out. But as I look back now on our 37-year marriage, our decade of missionary service in Africa, 25 years of serving at Lincoln Christian University, our three children and their spouses, and our three precious grandchildren, I shudder to think that none of that would exist had Julie succumbed to her fear. Mm-hmm. Had she backed out of going to the Democratic Republic of Congo, we never would have met. A few years ago, I was inspired by the funeral of a dear older man, Joe, who had been a dedicated Christian his whole life, serving on the mission field in South Korea. After his health deteriorated in 2010, he entered hospice care and was ready to die. The family gathered round him to say their final goodbyes, but Joe ended up living 3 years longer after removal of his ventilator. As someone said at Joe's funeral, he wasn't afraid to die, and he also wasn't afraid to live.
Yeah.
I want to be like Joe. Life is too short to be afraid to live or afraid to die. And here is Mr. Nichols' life application. 1. What do you fear? Can you name your fear right now? What would you be willing to do for God if he took away your fear or gave you courage to face it? 2. After labeling your fear, write an honest prayer that you can put where you'll see it daily. Ask God to either take away your fear or give you courage to face your fear. 3. When you're afraid, use the following short breath prayers. I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Push away the darkness, Jesus. Deliver me from the evil one. Perfect love casts out fear.
That reading by Marianne Simpkins is from the book Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth by Michael Edward Nichols. And that interview, it was over 2 days, a memorization Monday verse, and then Tuesday we talked a little about this book, is archived at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, so you can search for that program and hear a little more from Michael himself and why he wrote this book.
And we'll be having him back, too.
Yeah, we'll be having him back. And this book actually won't be out in print.
Oh.
A hard copy until just before Thanksgiving.
Oh, so we're holding like two of the only copies existence. Okay.
But they can get it like on Kindle or ebooks and such. And so we'll let you know when it's officially out. But it's called Short Life, Living for What Matters During Our Few Days on Earth. I highly recommend it. Appreciate Michael Edward Nichols, and we'll have him back on in the coming days. Thank you, Marianne, for reading for us today. And I hope that we touched a point in your life where you can have that inner peace, knowing that God does care for you, that you're to fear not and rest in his loving arms, knowing that he has everything under control.
And you know, one thing I really like that Mike said is pray for courage.
Yeah.
Pray for courage.
Amen.
Don't pray about your fear. Pray for courage.
Pray for courage. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.